whatever cost, help us, Lord, not to compromise the light, the revelation that we have been given, and enable us to be examples of that. In Jesus' name we ask.
Amen.
Well, as you know, the Lord is leading us to give again teaching principles on the deeper life, and there's a reason for it. God never makes a mistake, and I have a title here which may be several teachings, I'm not sure, but we'll see how it goes. And it's called today, The Reality of the Overcoming Walk. The Reality of the Overcoming Walk. Now, often the title gives us a good clue as to what the Lord is honing down into, what he's emphasizing. Because the word there is not only the overcoming walk, which we've had an awful lot of teaching about, but he says the reality of that walk.
Yes.
And we know that we will not survive, we will not walk this walk, unless it is translated into reality. Your life. Your experience. And that is what sorts out religious people to the sons of God. That is the dividing line. And the only way you will experience this is so often you take what you hear away with God and you talk it with him. This is why we have prayed today. This is why some have been inspired to pray. It's praying, it's relieving, it's asking it for that reality,
yes,
to be transferred into our lives. Because how will the world know?
Yes.
How will the world know that God loves them unless we love and we love one another, as we heard this morning, and through prayers and exhortations and so on? So all of this is vital. This is why when we come together to worship and praise, we give time for the Holy Spirit to lead and to move. We give time for one another. Mm. And we heard today that God wants us to experience that worship, because he said to us, and I picked it up, that in worship, that's where he then gives to us of himself. And that's what we're all crying out for. We don't always know it, but that's what we're wanting, is just for God, his presence, to minister and reach out to each of us. Because in his presence, there is that fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. What more can we, a man or woman experience than the very presence of God? It's what we're created and made for. That fulfills every fiber, every area, every whole part of our life and being. So this is what God's doing. And I couldn't help but feel that this was God's blessing today. Not that we put meetings above anything else, because we appropriate everything by faith. But I was very aware of God's presence today and his moving today. And I feel, cannot help but feel, this is a sealing, this is his approval on us, what we're teaching at the moment, going back some of these principles. And as some of you have already said, do you know, I've been listening to this for years, and yet it's a deeper unveiling. It is, because it's like that onion that God showed years ago. You just take layer after layer after layer, because an onion is made up of myriads of skins. So there we are. The reality of the overcoming walk. See, unless the cross, its trials and its humiliations are not working, overcoming won't happen. Now, I know that's no new revelation, but unless the trials that we go through and the humiliation of the trials, what do I mean by the humiliation of the trials? I mean that God in our trials is getting us not to run to the arm of the flesh, to the world that looks foolish and humiliating. Sometimes it is humiliating, it looks foolish. You are being criticised, whether it by the family or by those at work or your neighbour, whatever it is, when they look at you, look at that soul. Why are they putting themselves through that when they can go and get help whatever way they want? That can be the humiliation of the cross. But that humiliation is working in us what it means to be an overcomer. It is wrong to say, I am overcoming when I'm trusting in the arm of the flesh. You've just got to be honest. You're not overcoming at that point. Now, we've all made that mistake. But if you want the reality of this, then something within you says, I'm not happy about this. I'm talking this out with the Lord. It's not what I want. It's not what I'm taught. It's not what I see in the Word of God. Lord, I want to overcome. I want to be that overcomer. And to be that overcomer, it may mean that I'm humiliated. It may mean that I'm lied and gossiped about. But so what? They are the signs that I am an overcomer. You see. And for that to be achieved, the cross must be settled. The cross is the key for our healing. The cross is the key for the restoration of our family. The cross is the key for family life, home life, finances, everything we've been taught about, all the things that we have to face as human beings in this world, which Jesus says we're not even to take thought of, we're not to get anxious about, whatever it is. But none of that can work until we have settled the cross. Because the cross is death and resurrection. The cross, now hear me for what I'm going to say, this is what God reveals to me. The cross that the believer is also to take up is in fact the supernatural side of this world. Same as it was a miracle what God did with Christ, raising him up from the dead, triumphed over death, which Satan was holding the world in fear with, is the same spiritually what happens in your life and my life. As we settle the cross with the same heart and attitude that Jesus had to, we do likewise. That is what brings your life into the overcoming supernatural realm and walk of the Spirit. That is your experience.
Yes, sure.
We have been labouring that for years. And only you can answer that. Only you know that before God, whether you have gone spiritually to that Garden of Gethsemane, and you know God has a way of doing it. He had a way of doing it with me. You know, we think we've done these things sometimes until you're sick of it. You're sick of things keep going on, the same old pattern, the same old sinning, the same thing until you get absolutely desperate and God has a way. Lord, I settle this. It's the cross. Whatever this takes, whatever it will be, you will not allow me to be tried and tested above that which I'm able to endure, but I settle this once and for all. That's the cross. And God has a way of working that with each of us. That's why we're all on a different journey. And the journeys are different. What God is doing through one brother, he is doing different through another sister, or whatever it is. But the end result is the same, because it's Jesus. That's what's so wonderful about this. But it's a humiliation. And it looks terrible. It looks hopeless. It looks as though the whole lot has failed. And that's what it looked like when Jesus hung there. And little did the world, his enemies, even the disciples, his own mother, little did they realise the greatest thing Almighty God was working behind the scenes. Mankind, the powers and principalities and Satan himself. That is the walk you walk. That is what God is working behind each of us. Both individually, families and as a body. This is why it outwardly looks foolish. But how many times has God said that our walk, our life, looks absolute failure? Mm. And it does. Mm. But what is new? It's the very means of God Almighty working resurrection behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. This is why I constantly keep saying to you, whatever you're going through, whatever your trial, whatever it is, the picture is much, much bigger. Much bigger. You just haven't seen it yet. Why do I say this? Because you're dealing with God. You're dealing with His glory. You're dealing with the one who created the heavens, the earth. There's no beginning, no end. Always has been, always will be. There was never a time when He began. All those words that I just expressed are created and made for me to express and say that within Him. But He's even outside of that.
Yes.
That's who we're dealing with.
Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful. That is the reality of the overcoming walk.
Hallelujah.
You see. The cross is the revelation of the deeper life.
Yes. Mm.
Period. It is the doorway. It's the key to it. And that's why we should all as a church be experiencing the overcoming life. Mm-hmm. You see, our attitude as overcomers is, I am being perfected with very little strength. That is your experience. That's what you have glorified God. I am being perfected. I am being perfected today with very little strength. And I don't even know if I've got enough strength for tomorrow. But I walk by faith and not by sight. That makes an overcomer. An overcomer is not one who, I can do this and I can do that and the Lord has shown me this, and we've heard them, all the great speakers, you know, and you listen to it all and you just think, well, I don't even know if I'm saved, you know, when I look at my life and whatever. The enemy knows how to use that one.
Yes.
You know, that was a big area God had to deliver me from. I was bound for several years when I got saved with that, because I used to go to these rallies and, you know, meetings and whatever, because I was hungry, and these testimonies you'd hear there, and I'd listen to these testimonies, absolutely, you know, what God's doing for me and how the household got saved and how my ministry is open up and how God's blessed us with 20,000 for the ministry and everything. It just went on and on and on, and I thought, whatever's wrong with my life, you know. And I would go away depressed. You know, instead of being lifted up, it just ministered condemnation, because it was not my experience. Yeah. Little did I realize that God was getting my attention. But you see, God's always in control. He allowed me. You see, this is God's foresight with what He was preparing and calling me for. He was trying to show me what was real and what isn't. I had to go through those experiences. I had to go through those meetings. I had to listen to some of these ministers to be able to start to learn discernment. You see? Only God can do that. Because some people, that could destroy you. Could literally cause you just to run away from the whole lot. But He's always in control, you see. But our attitude as overcomers is, in being perfected, we are being perfected with very little strength outwardly. And that's all He needs. Our faith is being perfected by just a little mustard seed of faith. The minutest of things, what does He build from that? Does that remind you of us? Just a handful? Just a handful? But look what one strike of a match can do to set a fire ablaze. And that is how God works every time. That is what God was teaching the saints of old. That is what God was teaching Elijah. That I speak in the still small voice of the storm, right in the center, when it's all going on. That is where he speaks. God could only speak to Israel by getting her out of Babylon, out of Egypt. He won't speak there. There are too many voices. There are too many who want to be on their own throne. Too many want to dominate and control. Get out of it. Come out. Separate yourself. Be separate. That is always God's plan for the overcomers. And where's the overcomers to be found now? Where is she spiritually be found at present? In the womb of the woman.
Right.
Being formed into that perfect man-child, where one day that child will manifest. Mm. Why you are such a target to the enemy. Where is the dragon? He's right there next to the woman. He knows what is there. And yet much of Christendom would not have a clue what I'm talking about at this point. Isn't that a tragedy? All that here, yeah, they're into that heresy, manifested sons. That's what you'll hear. To the fact they don't know anything about what they're saying. They haven't got a clue, but they've heard somebody say it, so that's what it is. Not realizing that God has a greater and larger picture.
Amen.
There is saviours to come on the world,
Lord,
to rule and reign with Christ, to bring this world back to worshipping God again, because the world is pagan. It is rapidly falling away. Man's soul is becoming defiled in so many ways and forms, and I don't have to tell you that. You know, you see it, you listen to the news. It's absolute blind leaders of the blind. But God is always one step ahead. This is why it is a reality that we must experience in this overcoming walk. See, I saw myself writing this down. My life as a Christian doesn't make any sense. Your life as a Christian, does it make any sense? Mine doesn't. Mine doesn't. And I, you know, I sometimes I just bow my head in shame. I bow my head in shame sometimes when I've compromised, when I should have spoke out the truth, when I should have spoke out for my Saviour. I don't know about you, but I cannot bear people around me who use my Saviour's name in blaspheming. And I long for the Lord to give me that boldness and say, that's my Saviour talking about. He will, because I can't stand it.
Yes.
There's something within me rises up. I remember a sister years ago. She heard someone, you know, use the Lord's name in vain, and she looked and said, I didn't know you were a believer. That shut her up. My life, our life, as Christians, it doesn't make any sense. You know, this is why we've been down. This is why the enemy has been working at us. Well, you've been in it now for 40-odd years. What have you got to show? Nothing. You've had all these promises, all the greater works. You've heard it, everything. You've preached and everything. No different. And I thought, my life doesn't make sense at all. But then I thought about it and I thought, that is exactly how God works. They are the very conditions that Lord uses. But one thing I do know, and the experience I do have, I know I'm that clay on that potter's wheel. That I do know. Because that's an experience. That's a reality. So the Lord hasn't got it wrong, you see. And what is he doing when we come through this morale? We've come through this time where, you know, we've all battled and just, you know, felt like giving up. What is he doing? He's bringing us back to the principles. Bringing us right back to show that he didn't make a mistake. He didn't make a mistake through the vessels that he raised, where he used them. Because that's all they were, simply vessels, being perfected like the rest of us, and with their human frailty and faults. The Lord's delay for the bride is our overcoming. All the while he delays, that enables you and I to be overcomers. Amen. Because that's what we're overcoming for. Because it's the overcoming is the perfecting work of the bride who's making herself ready. The overcoming life is what makes the bride ready. It is the work. It's the overcoming life is what preparation of the bride needs to be without spot or blemish. And that is what he's doing. And that, don't try and work it out. Don't try and analyze it. Don't try and think, well, I went through that trial as an overcomer. Did I pass the test, Lord? You know, because God isn't going to tell you. God isn't going to tell you whether you passed the test or not. Because our understanding of passing the test is not God's understanding. Something our brother spoke the other week about perfection. And we've heard about this before, and I've heard it many, many times. I preach about it myself. But it made sense to me when you view perfection as a completeness. Mm. It's a completion. And it speaks about running that race to the end. Even though you feel as though you're losing it, it's a completeness that God looks for. That's the perfection.
Yes.
That degree of perfection that only God knows about us. Mm. When we look at perfection, we immediately think, oh, we better cloister ourselves. We better become nuns or monks. And, you know, that's our limited understanding of how we view perfection. We see it religiously. God doesn't see it like that. He sees it in the heart. Yes. What was your motive? That's what he looks at, you see? And it's such a deliverance when you hear these things and suddenly it drops that 18 inches from your head to your heart, you know? And I get so blessed when saints come and they just say, you know, I've listened to this, I've heard this, praise God, I've got it now. It's dropped. That's what it's all about. And that's how he does it. We may get this today. Some of us may have this experience today. You know, gosh, it's dropped. Wow, I needed to hear that. You know, tailor-made today. That's what the Word of God is about. Because it's alive, it's living. It's that two-edged sword. See, what is interesting is we spend much time about the promises of God's Word, and rightly so, because that's how faith grows. But promises are given to those who overcome.
Yes.
Scripture is silent to those who don't overcome. The promises of God's word are only given to the overcomers.
Amen.
That's why we see those rewards are going to be given. We're not talking about their soul not being saved.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking about the promises. And if you have got a healthy walk with God, it doesn't take you long when you read these promises and think, well, hang on, I can be blessed with that.
Mm.
And when you learn that God actually wants you to have that promise, well, you'd be an idiot not to receive and take it from the Master's hands. And yet you have got believers who don't even see that. Oh, well, that was for the apostles. Oh, that was for the early church. I mean, you know, they don't believe today that the church can be apostolic because they only believe that the apostles were for the early time at Pentecost. It wasn't to continue. It was just at that time to get the church raised, to get her functioning. It had done its purpose. Then mainly the gifts you see today would be the teacher and the pastor. That's what you see today. That is evangelical thinking and teaching. Where do you get that from Scripture? And yet they say they're so hot on it,
yeah,
on the Word, because they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is the problem, you see. It's always been for every century, and it has been an absolute tragedy that the apostolic faith and belief died after 150 years because they lost sight of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was never the will of God. So man will then build his creeds and thinking, and when the denominations form, he'll build his creed around that organization. And yet God is still there. God still uses it. We can only be perfected by drawn out and brought back under the banner and headship of Jesus Christ and under the ministries that he's restoring. What actually it is basically restoring, it is the anointing. Because it is that anointing that we grow by it. It is the anointing that touches us, teaches us. It is the anointing that creates that experience that we're to have as overcomers. You see? The unction of the Spirit. But most don't understand this. They just reduce it to being saved in a church. You attend each Sunday and you get religiously busy. That's their understanding of Christianity. That will be myriads of those today, Sunday going to church. That will be their experience. And I realised I didn't want that. It didn't take me long after I got baptised in the Holy Spirit. I thought there's got to be more than this. Well, I knew it because I was reading it. What does it say? We know this well, but I believe as we introduce this today in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 6. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 to 6. And here it's about that we walk in that light that God gives to us. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Isn't that amazing? A man in chains, in bond, in prison, writing this great epistle, and he opens up about walking in the light. I don't believe Paul was anything in the light. He was probably in a dungeon deep down somewhere, virtually no light, chained, and he talks about walking in the light. There's a light that's being revealed to him that he's seeing that the world doesn't see. With all lowliness, gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. He's not experiencing love. Far from it. Ill treated. And look what's coming out of him. Endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's like a confession coming out of him in the conditions that he's in. Holding on to that, even though he's parted from them. Yet look what he's saying. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We forget that God so often used the very conditions that these people were in which to give us this revelation that I might look at the language that comes out in his bonds. Nobody can do that in the natural. It is impossible. Through an impossible situation, he is given great light and revelation. This is great guidance for the building of the end time church in the last days, you see. And I often think of this when I particularly read the book of Ephesians, and I'm thinking in the state that Paul was in. But he had to be in those conditions in a dungeon in which to write this. Now, does that make any sense? Did his life as a Christian make any sense? His life was an absolute failure. How can somebody tucked away in the most depraved conditions write one of the greatest epistles? Only God can do that. And that is why your life is also an epistle. And it's out of your trials. It's out of your prison experiences. It's out of the delays in waiting on God that God is writing that epistle. Not in stone, but in flesh.
Praise you, Lord.
In your heart.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Jesus.
All in the world sees it.
Thank you, Jesus.
The powers of darkness, they see it.
Mm-hmm.
They do. They don't say a lot, but they see it.
Thank you.
See, only God can write that in you and I. This is why this overcoming life is. I know we shed a lot of tears at times. There can be a lot of disappointments. It can go so terribly wrong. It can look an absolute failure. I've done everything I know to do. I've prayed. I have fasted. I have confessed. I've done all. And it's this all there is to show for this. I know. I'm human. But it isn't a failure. It isn't. Because God's writing something eternal in your heart. Don't try and work it out. That is how God works with us. And that is why the baptism in the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Because that empowerment keeps us in this. This empowerment of the baptism of the Spirit keeps us daily taking up our cross, walking with Him. The empowerment of the baptism of the Spirit causes us to be those overcomers. It's not just speaking in tongues, although that's a great part of it. It's not even just manifesting the gifts. All of that is a part of it. It is so much bigger and larger, and it's such a tragedy that it was never preached as it should be to the church when the Holy Spirit was moving in the day that it was. It was only a power thing. And they're still power crazy today. What power with God? You only get power with God through those deep trials.
Yes, that's right.
The power of God shows you how He preserved and kept you when you would have gone back. You would have given up. I would have given up years ago. I can tell you that now as your pastor. There'd be many times I'd wanted to walk away. Cries out, Lord, don't give up on me. I have a fear. I've got a fear, a godly fear of that. I'm glad He's put that in me. I asked Him to, because it's very easy to walk away. But I know one thing: wherever I will go, I'll take it with me. I can even go to an island that's the nearest thing to paradise. There are some islands out in the Pacific that look like paradise, but I still take it with me. I know. Jonah thought he could escape God, but he couldn't get it out of his heart. It followed him wherever he went, even into the fish's belly. But God was in control. Jonah, he had a problem with God's forgiveness.
Yeah.
See, that was what he was. See, God had to change him. You see, the whole experience was basically to put God's love in him. And it had to take the fish's belly to do that. And sometimes God allows us to go spiritually into the fish's belly, because he's putting that love in us, which only fellowship and unity can be built on.
Praise God.
See? And He'll do that. See, here's something else to consider. Overcomers sometimes outwardly are overcome. And you simply stand and stay in it. As foolish as it looks as though Satan has triumphed, has overcome. But you just stay there and you just stand, because that's what an overcomer does. That's what Jesus did at the cross, because it looked as though Satan had won. So I bring this conclusion. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Here's something here that is promised for the overcomers. Not to all, but to the overcomers. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. All glorious, that is not for all, but it will be for those who endure and stay with it and overcome to the end. See, free down payment. It's there to show you what we're entering into. See, all these promises are just a down payment. It's what is there we can have even now in this life to what we're entering to, you see? It's like, it's a huge will, it's a wonderful will that's laid out, but there are stages to this will, but that will is so large enough, say, right, I have enough now, I'm going to give you now, already, you can partake of this will now, these promises are here, there's plenty more, it will never run out, the blessings of this will, but the rest of it is for eternity. But you've got enough, all your needs, everything will be met. You've got enough now. That is the contentment we must enter into, which has great godly gain, that he has provided enough, even now in this life, for our needs. Basis of belief.